this morning, and I'm putting my pants on, and there in the closet, and a pain shot across the width way like that. Boy, I went to my knees. So I can't hardly walk. I guess I'm getting where I know how Freddie feels now. But anyway, we're glad that you're here. We're in the 37th chapter of Ezekiel. And if you notice what we're talking about, I said 36 and 37. You'll have to do without a PowerPoint until Doug gets here. I probably got the last couple slides on PowerPoint I haven't got to, but I haven't even decided to do that. At first, I told Ken just sang another song. Doug wasn't here, but we'll go ahead and get started, and he can start off wherever he when he gets there. You remember in 36, we was talking about restoring the land of Israel, and that's what we're doing. We're talking about the redemption in 36 of the land and redemption of a repopulation of the land and purification of the land. And we went through that, and the earth is a type of a better of what we got coming later on. And we talked about spiritual Canaan in the Hebrew 12th chapter. Well, in the 37th chapter, he continues on with the same line of thought. I know you've looked at that, but we're talking about the rebirth of a nation. Well, they didn't believe this by the fact of the overthrowing of Jerusalem. And now they don't believe that the nation will ever live again. And I could see their line of thinking. You know, when you lose everything and you come back and you have something. And I need to apologize for Wednesday. I told you Doug and Debbie would be back. Obviously, I'm lying. I'm not Doug. But I really thought he was going to be here. And he saw me going in the door, and he said, I got to go. I didn't know I have that kind of effect on somebody, but I did. But anyway, the 37th chapter, he says, the hand of the Lord came upon me and brought me out in the spirit of the Lord. And out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. Dead. But God's going to raise those bones up. See, God can do that. God's going to make anything alive again. His people, his nation was dead. But their God wasn't dead. And the Spirit is talking, or God is talking to Ezekiel, and Ezekiel is going along and talking to the people. People say, how did the Spirit do that? Well, God miraculously gave him the Spirit. He gives it to us and by the Word. But the Spirit and God and the Son has always been active, and here's our teacher, and I'll start right there, and we're in the 37th chapter.
Sorry about that. That's pretty hard for a guy that's been sick in bed for the last couple days. Appreciate him filling in. So you're in Ezekiel 37, right?
Yes, sir.
That's good.
Unless you want to do something else?
Nope, that's what I've got here.
That's what we'll do.
All right. How far did you get?
First verse. I was saving a lot of it for you.
First verse.
I was really dragging my feet, dude.
If anybody can kill time, it's Charles, right?
We only heard the
verse. All right. Well, let's read this first paragraph together then. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the middle of the valley. And it was full of bones. And he caused me to pass among them round about. And behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley. And lo, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again, he said to me, prophesy over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter in, to enter you, that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you and make flesh grow on you, cover you with skin and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. Obviously, as you're reading this, and we're familiar with what Ezekiel has been dealing with and so forth, who do these dry bones represent? Israel, Judah, okay? It's dead, okay? The northern 10 tribes, they were taken away into Assyrian captivity. Judah's been taken away into Babylonian captivity. It's been reported at this time. Jerusalem has fallen. The final exiles are going to be carried back to Babylon. So it's over. You know? I mean, if you're a Jew, that's it. There's no coming back. Okay? And so that's really what God is addressing here. And you'll see that here in about the third paragraph, how that Judah was saying, we're just dry bones. You know, we're dead. Okay? And so God says to Ezekiel, can these bones live? And he gets a good answer. Okay? You're God. You can do anything. You know. And if you say they can live, they can live. And if you say they're not going to live, they're not going to live. But that's basically what he was saying there. But here's what I want us to take note of here, because this is a very, very, very interesting chapter. Can these bones live? O Lord God, you know. And how are they going to live? It's by hearing the word of the Lord. Now, you know, throughout this chapter, he's going to talk about breath. He's going to talk about the word of the Lord. Adam, God made Adam and did what? Breathed into him the what? Breath of life. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, which means what? All scripture is what? Breathed of God. So the breath of God gave man physical life, and it's the breath of God that gives man spiritual life. You see? And that's what's taking place here. We really kind of see that throughout this chapter. It says, thus saith the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. Physical Israel is going to be resurrected. Spiritual Israel will come to life in the church. See, but it's all going to be by the breath of God entering into them. All right. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise. And behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, and there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded, and the breath came into them, and they came to life and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. What brought life into these dry bones? What brought life into these bones that came together in the sinew and the flesh and all of that? He says, I prophesied as he commanded, and breath came into them, and they came to life. Now, we know there wasn't a literal valley here and literal bones scattered all over the valley. That's not what he's talking about. He's seeing a vision here, and this vision represents Israel. But the point is that what was dead, you know, you don't even have to pronounce this dead. Anybody could see this was dead. Okay, but God brought it back to life. Okay? And he's going to bring Israel back to life for a very specific purpose. What was that? Why did God bring Israel back to life? Why didn't he just write them off? Forget about it. Pardon me? The Messiah. You got a messianic prophecy here. We got salvation, okay, that's all about that. From the beginning of the world, before God ever said, let there be light, he said, in the event that man sins, we've got a plan of redemption. Okay, so that had all been prophesied, and that has to be fulfilled. Okay, and the book of Ezekiel is a book of say what I'm going to say. What I'm going to tell you hasn't come about, but it's going to come about. And when it comes about, you will know what? You will know that I am the Lord God. Okay? And so, I mean, that's in every single chapter. Say what I say. I'm going to tell you something that nobody's ever heard of before. I'm going to tell you something that's going to happen that hasn't happened. It's going to come about. And when it comes about, you'll know I'm the Lord God. And one of the kind of neat things about this particular, about Ezekiel is that a lot of the prophecies that he foretells, the very generation that he's prophesying to is going to see the fulfillment of those prophecies. You know, he's told them about, you know, Jerusalem's going to fall. Ezekiel's not the only one who had told them that, but Ezekiel was telling them that. And they're going to see Ezekiel, they're going to see Jerusalem fall. And he says, and when you see Jerusalem fall, you'll know that I told you it was going to fall. They thought it was impossible for Jerusalem to fall. So, this is an important chapter. It's a neat chapter. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried up. And our hope has perished. We are completely cut off. Yeah. If you were looking at their situation, you would say, yeah, you're right. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will bring you into the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. When I have opened your graves and caused you to come up out of your graves, my people, and I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life, and I will place you on your own land, and you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and done it, declares the Lord. You will come up out of your graves. These literal physical graves. No, but they thought that they were dead, right? Where were their graves?
Captivity
in Chaldea, in Babylon. Okay, so he says, you're going to come back from Babylon. You're going to come back to your land. Okay, you're going to see that. I've told you all these things about destruction. You're going to see that come about, and you'll know that I'm the Lord. Now I'm telling you, you're going to come out of your captivity and come back to your land, and you will know that I am your Lord. Okay? So, I will put my spirit within you, and you will come to life. You know, these are the things that really caught my attention here as I was reading through this, is that he says, speak to them, they're going to hear my spirit. Okay? You just can't get away from all that. You know, the power of the Word of God. It's the Word of God. Comes from God that gives us life, you see, spiritually. And it's the Holy Spirit that reveals the will of God through the Word of God. That's exactly what's taking place here. Who's given Ezekiel these words? Yeah, God, and in particular, God the Holy Spirit. You know, the words originate with God the Father, but it's the Holy Spirit that's delivering them to Ezekiel and who's in turn delivering them to us. This is Scripture. All Scripture is breathed of God. Okay? The word of the Lord came again to me, saying, and you, son of man, take for yourself one stick and write on it for Judah and for the sons of Israel, his companions. Okay, so you take one stick, write on this stick, Judah and the sons of Israel and his companions. Of course, Judah represents the southern kingdom of Israel. Basically, Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. The tribe of Benjamin didn't go off into, you know, the northern kingdom. Then take another stick and write on it, for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and all the house of Israel, his companions. So Ephraim represented the northern kingdom after the largest and most influential tribe of the north. Jeroboam was from the tribe of Ephraim. Okay? So, and Jeroboam, of course, was the king, the first king of those northern ten tribes. So that's why Ephraim kind of represents all the house of Israel. You know, that next phrase there, all the house of Israel, refers to the other nine tribes who joined Ephraim in consisting of the northern kingdom. Okay, so you got these two sticks. One represents the southern kingdom, the one that represents the northern kingdom. Okay, where's the northern kingdom? They were taken into Assyrian captivity, okay? Babylon's overthrown them, but they're not, so they're in captivity, but in different places, kind of a different thing. So they're separated. They've been separated for a long time. They're still separated. And here he's saying, we're going to put them back together. So he takes two sticks and puts them in one hand and makes it look like it's just one stick. Okay, that's basically what's going on there. Okay, so verse 17, then join them for yourself one to another into one stick, that they may become one in your hand. And when the sons of your people speak to you, saying, will you not declare to us what you mean by these? Say to them, thus says the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the stick and the tribes of Israel, these his companions, and I will put them with it, with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, that they may be one in my hand. And the sticks on which you write will be in your hand before their eyes. Okay? So the two kingdoms are going to be joined back into one kingdom. That's what God said. You'll in my hand. Okay? So you'll be under my authority again. You'll want to be under my authority again. So he said, I'm going to take the two kingdoms, and I'm going to put them back together. And say to them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the sons of Israel from among the nations where they have gone, and I will gather them from every side and bring them into their own land. And I will make them one nation in the land on the mountains of Israel. And one king shall be for all of them. They will no longer be two nations, for they will no longer be divided into two kingdoms. And they will no longer defile themselves with their idols, or with their detestable things, or with any of their transgressions. But I will deliver them from all their dwelling places in which they have sinned, and will cleanse them, and they will be my people, and I will be their God. So, regardless of where my people are, scattered by the Assyrians, scattered by the Babylonians, says, I'm going to bring them back together. Okay? Going to be one. Not going to serve idols anymore. Not going to defile yourselves. Verse 24. And my servant David will be king over them, and they will all have one shepherd, and they will walk in my ordinances and keep my statutes and observe them. This is where it begins to come to light that, okay, we're not just talking about bringing the captives back out of captivity and back into the land that was promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their descendants. They're not just coming back to physical Israel. We're not just talking about joining Judah and Israel back together and being one. We're looking ahead to the reason he's bringing them back together. This one kingdom, and David will be king over them. Of course, John chapter 10 and verse 16, Jesus said, "Other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and they will be one flock and one shepherd." So many other prophecies we could look at that shows that God plainly said that the Gentiles will be part of this kingdom. So there's going to be one spiritual kingdom with one king and one shepherd over them. "And they shall live on the land that I give to Jacob, my servant, in which your fathers lived. And they will live on it, they and their sons' sons forever. And David, my servant, shall be their prince forever." Acts chapter 5 and verse 31 reads, speaking of Jesus, of course, "Him God has exalted to his right hand to be prince and savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So we have David, we have a shepherd, we have a prince. Okay, all of these things are pointing, of course, to Jesus. David was promised that, you know, of his kingdom, you know, that the Messiah would be of his lineage. So that's why David is being brought up here. "And I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and set my sanctuary in their midst forever." So a covenant is going to be made. Thought they already had a covenant. Now, Israel already had a covenant, didn't they? Mosaic covenant? So this is a different covenant, isn't it? I will make a covenant of peace with them, and it will be an everlasting covenant with them. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20 says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant," and is going to go on there, but just notice the terminology that's being used there. God of peace, make a covenant of peace. All of these things, of course, we will see fulfilled in the establishment of the church. "And I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in their midst forever." Under the Mosaic system, of course, they had the tabernacle, then they had the temple. The first temple was destroyed, and then another temple was built, and then that temple was destroyed. You know, the temples are destroyed, okay? So, but these, the tabernacle and the temple were the sanctuaries. He says, "I'm going to establish a sanctuary. I will set my sanctuary in their midst forever." 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 16 says, "What agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them, I will walk among them, I will be their God, and they shall be my people." And of course, that's what we find here in verse 27. "My dwelling place also will be with them, and I will be their God, and they will be my people." So, what is the sanctuary of God now?
The church will be finding his protection and grace.
Okay.
Forever.
Okay. The church, the saved. You, Christian, you see? That's what he's saying. I'm going to live in you. And that's what Jesus said in John 14, that when his word abides in us, that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit abide in us. You see? So it's not going to be a building someplace. It's going to be the church that Christ built, okay? The body of the saved. And the nations will know that I am the Lord who sanctifies Israel when my sanctuary is in their midst forever. The nations, you see, that's where he begins to point to the Gentiles. That this sanctuary is not just for Israel and Judah that are reunited, it's for the nations. The nations will know. Okay? And again, this is foretold, okay? And God is saying, when you see it fulfilled, then you will know that I am the Lord God. Through Christ, peace with God becomes reality, and peace with men becomes a potentiality. We look at the world condition today. And we see, there's wars and rumors of wars, and some of those wars are even based on people's religious ideologies and so forth. What's the answer to all the wars and the rumors of wars? What's the answer to the wars and rumors of wars even within your own family? It's Jesus Christ, you see. It's laying my will aside to lift up His will in my life, to live as He teaches me to live. You see, to love others as I love myself, to love my neighbor and to love my enemy. To walk in the light as He is in the light. And if everybody was doing that, how many wars would we have? How many arguments would we have? How much hostility would there be? Wouldn't it? Okay? So that's why it's so important that you and I let our light shine. It's so important that you and I treat people the way Jesus would have treated people. That we, read the Gospels over and over again. That we know how Jesus interacted with people. And then we read the epistles, and those characteristics that we see in Jesus, we're taught to practice that same degree of character. That glorifies God, and that will bring those who are of the light to the truth so that they can walk in the light as well. Your observations, comments, questions on chapter 37. All of these key phrases, my servant David will be king and shepherd and, this covenant and peace and all, that's, the New Testament just confirms that, yeah, that was prophesied and now the prophecy is fulfilled. Yep, Charles?
If it's the Lord's will, it's going to happen. And I know that they had a lot of things that come to the children, a lot of things happened to them that were probably staggering their faith, and we did too. But if it's the Lord's will, it will happen.
Absolutely. In fact, that's kind of interesting because that's kind of what the sermon's about this morning. God is faithful. God is faithful. When God says something, then he means it, and he's going to be true to it, and he's not going to deny himself. That's what's being said here. Can these bones live? Doesn't look like it, but you know.
Now here's
Yeah.
And this is really a good thing. Well, the stick has two, but the dry bones, you think about how he can do that, put that in reverse, and this is hard to put them in their mind that, yes, he can put his back together.
Right.
But the point is, we're the ones that were torn apart because of both of our sins and iniquity.
Mm-hmm.
But here he says that if you do my will like a mass, you can come back.
Yeah, they were dead long before they went into captivity,
right,
weren't they?
Yeah, it's been a long period of time.
Yeah, they.
Looking at Ezekiel, what he's been going through and telling them, and it's so in this kind of slow process. Now in this last part here, he says, "You are coming back.
Yeah,
here's your hope, everything like that." But you know, it's the same thing. It is with the children of Israel when he came back out there. You have to obey my words, my commandments, my law. You did it. And you see what happened to you. Now, I can do the reverse of it, put you back together. If you obey everything, and then you look on at the last part there, what he's got more planned than the other covenant.
Right.
It's tremendous.
And it's going to be the same principle, just a different covenant. Yeah. Yeah.
God can predict the future and the power to see it come about. And we need to believe that. That's what our faith is about.
Yeah.
God. Yeah. We say God. Sometimes I don't think we're in awe or reverence to him for what he can do and will do, as we should.
Yeah. You and I need to realize, though, that what God is expressing here is his optimism. He's not going to force Israel to come back together.
It's always conditional, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. They're not going to walk in his way because he's going to make them walk in their way. You know, it's still going to be love. It's still going to be, they're going to choose to, but they're going to be, you know, when you hit bottom, you know, hopefully you don't drill through it, you know, hopefully you come to your senses and come back, and they're going to, and they do. God is optimistic that when they hear the word, they're going to come back, and he's optimistic that the nations are going, you know, that there are those who are of the truth. And foreknowing, you know, he knows that there will be those who will do that. So, you know, it's his will. He knows it's going to come about, but he doesn't force his will ever, you know, on us. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a reciprocation of love. It's our free will agreeing to do his will. Okay. All right. Thank you very much.